Avos Perek Beis Mishnah Dalet 2:4. Now here we have Hu Haya Omer. He used to say. So this is the third statement we have being attributed to Rabban Gamliel, the son of Yudah Nasi. But unlike the previous two, where we didn't have this, you know, prefatory comment Hu Haya Omer, here we do. So as you said in the previous perek, Hu Haya Omer means he was accustomed to say on a regular basis. So perhaps the previous two statements he only said once regarding, you know, earning a living and being wary of the government, but this he used to say on a regular basis. And the topic here, unlike those previous Mishnayos, which are really sort of practical issues about how to balance, you know, one's responsibility to support himself and his spiritual pursuits, and the two Mishnayos ago and yesterday's Mishnah, this previous Mishnah about the you know, how to deal with the balance of the community's needs and interacting with the authorities, the government that oversees it. Here, this is something more on a ruchani and a more spiritual level. And the basic topic here really at its bedrock is about hashkacha, about divine providence. So without getting too deep into it, the basic idea is that Hashem, of course, runs the world, but he runs a world through what's called both hashkacha klalis, a general supervision, and also hashkacha pratis, also a fine-tuned supervision. Now, of course, nothing in the world happens without Hashem wanting it to happen, b'chaluvafrat, in the smallest detail of your blade of grass. But in order to maintain the illusion that people are under, that affords them the possibility of free will, there has to be, look like there's a system that works without immediate, direct divine intervention, so that there are, you know, rules of nature and rules of economics and rules of history, which generally do, you know, get play out. So, of course, every person needs a private hashkach, a private providential oversight, and what happens to him is Hashem's doing. But it's a little complicated, because obviously if the state of Israel, let's say, is in a war or hasn't got rain, so everyone is going to suffer. Some people may suffer more than others, but the good guys and the bad guys both are suffering. So that's like sort of hashkach klalis. There's general larger things that happen to the community, or, you know, an area or region, whatever the story is, and lots of people are dragged into that. Now, there's a separate possibility of hashkacha pratis, a private intervention that's sort of breaking the rules or special, you know, dispensations or exemptions or protections that individuals may get. They have to be worthy of it, however. And our Mishnah is basically saying that the way one becomes worthy is basically mida keneged mida. If one essentially takes Hashem's interests to heart and makes them his own interest, so then Hashem will reciprocate and take a special interest in protecting this, you know, this person's interest, what he wants and what he doesn't want. That's of course very important and very central to what it means to have sort of the tzaddik and his relationship with Hashem. Now, I think the framework to consider this Mishnah, in truth, is best thought of in the context of a marriage, or like a loving marriage. And my wife has a great line. She says that a marriage isn't meant to be 50-50 between husband and wife. Nope. It's 100-100, which means that each person gives their all to the marriage. Each person does their best to sort of make sure that the other person is taken care of. And that system is the best system for everyone getting, you know, what's best. But what it means essentially is that the husband's highest priority is that his wife should be happy, and vice versa. Okay, so that's sort of the starting point, conceptual starting point you should come from when you approach this Mishnah. The Mishnah says inside, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, Oseh Ritzono Kirtzonecha, make his will, the will of God, Kirtzonecha, like your own will, Kedei Sheyaaseh Ritzoncha Kirtzono, so that he will make your will like his will. So the idea here is that you should relate to fulfilling the mitzvahs, the Ratzon Hashem, as being what you actually want to do, like above all else. That's the 100-100 marriage situation. What you want is that Hashem's will should be carried out. You want Kvod Shemaim. You want what Hashem wants. And then Hashem acts always mida keneged mida. He acts reciprocally with the person how they act to Hashem. He responds in kind. And therefore, Hashem will make Rotzoncha Kirtzono, your will like his will. Now, this isn't meant to be a tautology where it's like a trick, which is, okay, once all you want is what Hashem wants, so now who cares what you want? What you want is what Hashem wants, so Hashem doesn't do anything for you. That's not what it means. It means that a person, of course, has his own specific desires and values, which may be utterly aligned with the Ratzon Hashem, but not necessary for the Ratzon Hashem. So, you know, the first part of the Mishnah is saying, you know, when you approach your doing your mitzvahs, you should think, there's a need here and I want to give of myself, I want to give my money, give my resources, because that's what Hashem wants. Even though if it wouldn't be what Hashem wants, you wouldn't be, you know, dying to spend your money or your time or resources on this particular thing. But then, because you're that kind of person, so Hashem will reciprocate, and when you want something, now if you're really someone who's 100% into Ratzon Hashem, so what you're going to want probably isn't something that's forbidden to you or that's detrimental to you or even that's, you know, that's sort of lacking in spiritual merit. But still, it's much as peculiar to you, which all things being equal, Hashem wouldn't make happen if it wasn't that you weren't the fact that you wanted it. So in other words, I don't know, there are two kids fighting for the same spot in a school. One of them's your kid. Or, you know, everyone's going to get a kosher esrog, but you're just dying for the super deluxe kosher esrog. So the point is, like, Hashem's cool with your kid getting to school, but there are other kids. Hashem's cool to get in kosher esrog, but you don't have to get the nicest one in town. But if that's what you want, and you're a person who is fulfilling the mandate of Osa Ratzono Kirtzonecha, so then reciprocally Hashem will make your will his will, and so you have a special hashgacha pratis that will be, you know, that, you know, your kid will get the hearing he needs, or you'll find the esrog that you want, or whatever it is that you really wanted. And similarly says the Mishnah further, batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono, you should annul your will in the face of his will. Kadesha yivatel ritzonacherim mipnei ritzonecha, so that the will of others is annulled in front of your will. So we're not saying here like a mirror image of the previous sense of the mission, which is if you annul your will to him, he'll annul his will to you, because Hashem is not annulling his will to anybody. Hashem's will is all there is, and that's what prevails. But in the question of hashkach and hashkach aprat, that's how it works, which is certainly beyond the scope of what we're going to discuss in the mission right here, right now. There's an obvious conundrum, which is if there are two people and they are both Balei Bechira, and what they want is, you know, mutually exclusive, and they're both acting each other, so what's going to be? How's it going to work? Or, you know, we'll put it a different way, you know, if something's not meant to happen to you, it won't happen, right? But what if there's a person who's a Balei Bechira and he wants to do it to you? Can he get away with it? Okay, so this is an open question. The truth is that most, I don't get into it now, the truth is. But the point, how to resolve that. But our point of our mission here is that if you annul your will, when you want to do something wrong and say, nope, Hashem wouldn't want that, so I don't want that. So then when someone wills something bad towards you, Hashem will not let that happen. He will annul that person's will, so you will be protected. Again, a special kind of hashgacha prata, a special kind of protection. I should speak out, the Bartanura learns that the case of the Mishnah, the first part is much more specific. That's with spending of money, specifically. To spend money to do mitzvahs, you should want to do it as if you were serving your own ends. There's also sort of a fascinating take, not like what I said, by Reb Chaim Velazher and Ruach Chaim, who says that just as a couple of Mishnahs ago we were talking about the balance between learning and working, here we're saying, says Reb Chaim Velazher and Ruach Chaim, that to make your will his will, make his will your will, I should say, means that you should at least learn as much as you work, at least. But whatever the case is, those are you know, other approaches, all which may be valid, but the primary approach, I think, for this Mishnah is that a person should go into his relationship with Hashem as if he's 100-100, he is totally committed to Hashem, all in, and what he wants is the Ratzon Hashem, Kvod Shemayim, that Hashem's agenda should be fulfilled in this world, Meloch Olam Kulo, and then the assurance that we're getting in return from the Mishnah is, and don't worry, Hashem will take care of you, you don't have to worry, you're not going to lose out by being 100-100, and that's true for marriage as well. A person's 100-100 with a well-meaning spouse, so he should be all in taking care of the spouse, and please God, if there's goodwill, he'll be all the better off for it, even though he's totally selfless and giving, but it will come around in spades back to him.